So, why does that low? I don't know. 1, 2, 2, 1. 2, 2, 1. Okay, so this, I think, is now working. What a nightmare. Okay, I'm just checking that it's going past. Right, so, okay. So, this is recording of episode 19 of Fragmentum, take 2. I tried to use GarageBand on my iPhone with the mic connected unsuccessfully because I'd set it to only record 8 bars. And it sounded like a quite good podcast. Anyway, this one hopefully will be better. So, hopefully, new theme tune-ish. Still working on that. So, I can't believe it. This is episode 19 and my so-called regular podcast. I haven't had one since the middle of April, so that's May, June, July, 3 months. So that's pretty rubbish. So I'm hoping to rectify that. But I've learned a few things, and I just wanted to do this podcast now just to get you up to speed with some stuff that we're doing in relation to the PhD, the spatial interface around sort of knowledge building. So I'm going to keep it pretty short. The first thing to note really is that I've learned a couple of things is in June, when the final students are finishing their final major projects, I just can't do anything other than the day job. So forget podcasts, forget newsletters, forget doing any PhD stuff. I just got to wipe out June. So that's something I've learned really, really quickly in terms of like needing to remember June is a no-go zone for anything other than just dealing with final year students. So that's cool. Taking about 20 years for me to figure that out. Anyway. So the other update is that the Mozilla Fellowship, I didn't get it. I haven't got any specific feedback from the application yet. I might try and chase some of that up. But I did get some great feedback in the application process, and it really helped me to sort of focus what I'm doing. So you can read that fellowship proposal if you want to on discursive.adamproctor.co.uk. I'll put all the links in the show notes, obviously. And see what you think. And again, I welcome feedback. But this podcast really is just to catch up with where I'm going next with this process, because it gave me a really good way of thinking about the next year. And so what I've now done is I've put in a proposal at MozFest to run a workshop demonstrating an MVP, a minimum viable product, of what I'm currently codenamed Node Noggin, which is the spatial interface for manipulating objects. So it's a bit of a catch up on that and where we're at and why I'm going to do that specifically. So as you might know, I've been playing around with trying to make some spatial interface. So there's a YouTube video where you can see a version of this where I'm creating learning objects and connecting them and moving them around spatially. So really looking at sort of spatial hypertext and that kind of stuff and how you might organize objects, in particular how when you're teaching design thinking and game design and design in particular in a studio environment, how might you have a tool that extends that practice of collaborative sharing of creative investigation from, you know, the physical in the studio through discussions, crits, you know, post-it notes, conversation, to something that is a digital tool that augments and supplements that. And I don't think currently there's anything that really does it in a way that's tuned in to that sort of design education process. So that's, you know, a quick summary of the kind of thing I've been playing with. But again, you can follow a lot of this detail later on. So that is got to a stage where I was just really happy with how I'd sort of played around with it. But I'm not really a programmer. I'm a hacker. So I just kind of mash stuff together, get things to work and try and figure out something. And so I'd got to a stage where I had these objects you could manipulate. I'm using Vue.js, Snap, SVG.js to render the objects, and you can sort of shove them around. And then I ended up reconnecting to a real-time database using Google's Firebase and Firestore, which was great, and it was sort of getting there. But I didn't want to have the back end on a Google related product. I wanted it to be on something open source, something that is not, you know, is not Google, because we know Google are just going to take the data, and I didn't want them to take the data. That's part and parcel of the what makes this a delightful interface is it's ethically sound, and Google isn't. So that was bothering me, and so I had a conversation with sort of Harold Balkin about some of the things that he'd been trying to do. And his moves to sort of this DAT and multi-writer back end, which sounds great, and he got it going there. But man, it was super confusing for me. You know, I looked at the shopping list demo and I was just like, there's like too much going on here, too many command line interfaces. It was just madness. So I was kind of at a bit of a stuck point. Now, to rewind a little bit, randomly, quite a while ago now, after going to a football game, I end up going into a pub in my local village because we need to get some food. And I bumped into a guy called Matthew Parker, who turned out to be a programmer. And in fact, we really hit it off in terms of like understanding of, you know, what we think is good in terms of like coding practice and that kind of stuff, keeping stuff simple, making it readable, you know, and, you know, being very selective in terms of things. And that's kind of how I've been building the Vue.js stuff. You know, there's loads of stuff where you can use the command line interface. It builds this whole thing with a distro and a public and whatever. And that's just confusing. But what I liked about it was I could just get, you know, a JavaScript file, a HTML file, and I could build a responsive interface, and it didn't have to be complicated, and it could be readable and legible. So the other thing that turned out that was really cool was that Matthew's a Perl developer, and I don't know many Perl developers, but the only other one I really know of is John Syracuse. So that's pretty cool. I'm like, okay, if John Syracuse does Perl, and I think he's awesome, Matthew does Perl, he's got to be awesome. Turns out that that's probably true. So I guess if I meet any more Perl people, I'm going to expect them to be awesome. So anyway, his job is programming at a high level, running a software, you know, team, and doing a, you know, really crucial, you know, has to be right stuff. So he knows all the processes, and I've been fortunate to get him in to talk to the game students about how you work in a large software organization and the kind of processes you put in place and the things that you do to ensure that you have a robust set, you know. Whereas there's me, I'll be pulling on and off databases live and not really thinking about the consequences. So anyway, that was a conversation, you know, general, you know, random meeting, interesting sort of approaches, sounded great. So anyway, I caught up with Matthew again and mentioned at some point that I've been looking at Vue, and I sent him some of the blog posts of the things I've been doing. I said, this is quite exciting. It's really interesting in lots of ways. And so we met up again. And, you know, one of the things he said to me, you never guess what, I've been working on a real Vue project. And he said, it's great, I really got into it. And I was like, oh, wow, okay, this is great. I'm glad you liked it, and I'm really pleased that, you know, you've had the opportunity to look at it. And he was really excited about it as well. So I was like, oh, that's great. I thought he might be. You know, and we'd had a previous conversation about, you know, Golang and some of the excitement around that. But anyway, so I said, well, look, let me show you some of the stuff I've been doing on Vue. And I showed him some of the spatial interface stuff. And he was like, oh, that looks quite interesting and exciting. And I said, well, the one thing I really could do with some help figuring out is getting off this Google database. I just can't be on it. And I've looked at this other stuff and it's really complicated. And I said, look, I'll send you some things and I'll log you into my GitLab so you can see what I've been doing. And so he had a look at those things. Oh, yeah, this looks totally doable. I'm sure we could figure something out. And I said, well, look, okay, let me come and talk to you about the ethos of the app, of the platform, and see what you think. And so I did that and explained through, you know, this is what it's going to do and how it works, and explained, you know, it's like a blackboard but better, you know, the really bad version of explaining it. And he really got it and really liked the idea and the project. And he said, well, you know what? I think, you know, I'd really like to work on this because I've got, you know, a big software team at work, and, you know, that's, you know, there's all the management of that, and it's very different, but I've got no real kind of playful project. So the exciting news is that I actually have got a real programmer to start helping to put together some of these prototypes and these MVPs, which is pretty amazing. So the cool thing about this is that I'm going to connect this podcast to a discourse forum chat where I'm talking about the Mozilla proposal for the workshop, and so you can read and see the connections between that. We've added a few things in the GitLab repo, which we're going to make public as soon as possible, with some of the issues and ideas around how we might, you know, build this system, and the kind of database stuff. I think Matthew's been mainly looking at CouchDB at the moment, which has got some really interesting stuff. Don't know how real time that's going to get. And we've been looking at the stuff that Errol's been looking at around DAT and multi-writer as well. But the aim is next on the 11th of August, we're going to get together and spend a day really knocking something up. So this is really a podcast to tee up that's happening and to point people to the different resources. So there's some stuff on, obviously, the Discourse forum, which I'd love people to get engaged with. And there's some stuff on Discursive, where I've talked about the proposal, you know, and you can follow up some of those kind of things. And then when we open up the GitLab, you can see some of the repos. Obviously, some of them are already available, the ones I've been playing with. But the main one for over the next couple of weeks is just internal at the moment. But if you join, if you sign up for the gitlab.adamproctor.co.uk, you'll see those things sooner. Or you can just visit and click explore and you can go around. So that's pretty exciting. There's a bunch of other stuff I've got to do related to the PhD and the kind of conversations around what I'm going to, how I'm going to use the PhD around this, because it's a big, the project is so big actually. The PhD is going to be a tiny piece of it, and it's probably going to revolve around this kind of documentation and how that works through the testing. Obviously, if we don't get into the MozFest thing, that's fine, because the idea is, again, based off the fellowship proposal, is that over the next year I can start testing these concepts within the games design studios here at Winchester School of Art and get some of the students, you know, to start feeding back as to how it might actually function as a really, you know, as a delightful intuitive platform, and that will then in turn inform the delightful design manifesto and inform, you know, some of the writing that goes along, you know, documenting an open project, which I think is going to be quite a big part of what I want to do, is just document how the project's worked, who, you know, the engagement, and just things like, you know, the serendipity of meeting different developers, designers. Obviously, if we get to the MozFest, if we get in, then I'm hoping that's a real opportunity to sort of do some community building, because that's the big thing that I want to do next, is community build around the product so people can contribute to, you know, reflection on the idea, they can critique, they can talk, discuss the concepts, they can contribute code if they want to, those kind of things. So I'm quite excited about where it's going. Got a lot of work to do actually on the PhD itself. So most of August, when I'm not kind of enjoying the break and hanging out with the kids and the wife and whatever, I'm going to be trying to pull together some of this in written form. I've got a better idea of how all my blogs and things are working together now. So yeah. Hopefully that makes sense. Don't know if it was as good as the first take. I think it's probably better. I'm sure it was. Who knows? The first one's gone anyway. It was just me talking into a mic with nothing being captured, so that's weird. If you like what you hear, then obviously you can buy me a coffee, link in the show notes. If you really like what we're doing, you can go to my Patreon page and subscribe at various tiers to pay monthly. I'm probably going to use that money now just to pay my programmer Matthew in coffee and beer and whatever else to keep him happy and get him to explain all the cool stuff he's doing. So who knows what's going to happen, but 11th of August, got a full day building stuff. I don't know what exactly I'm going to be doing other than trying to help as much as possible. It should be pretty exciting. So thanks again for listening, and yeah, enjoy this insanely hot English weather. If you are in England, it does not seem to be letting up, which is pretty great. So thanks again.